The worst nightmares are the ones you cannot wake from because they are real. The Book of Bryn.
If not for Minna, they never would have known Bryn had been taken. The wolf brought them awake with her barks, and in that fleeting moment, Persephone caught sight of the girl. She was being hauled away, a pale hand clamped over her mouth, her heels kicking weakly against unforgiving stone. Then she was gone, lost to the darkness.
Bryn!
Scooping up the glowing shard beside her, Persephone scrambled to her feet and chased after Bryn. She hadn't thought to grab a shield, and thanked Mari that she'd slept with the sword belt on, the weapon still in its scabbard. Persephone didn't remember falling asleep. She had sat up, watching over the others in case the row came. Just a precaution. She hadn't thought it really would. There were 10 of them, counting the wolf, and only one row. At least, she'd only seen one. She'd considered assigning shifts to keep watch, but thought sleep was more important.
Bryn! Oh, holy Mari, please, no!
Panning the green light around, she saw a half dozen corridors and archways. Bryn could be down any of them. How much time did she have to find her? Bryn's voice replayed in her mind.
What part of "they eat people's faces" didn't you hear?
Moya rushed into the glow of Persephone's stone.
Where is she?
Moya's eyes were huge.
I don't know! We have to find her! I know that! Do you think I don't know that?
The mystic approached with the animal at her side.
Minna will find her, won't you, Minna?
The wolf was still bristling her fur and had an ugly snarl on her lips. She wasn't even looking at the corridors. Minna was growling at the stairs.
They went down.
That was all Persephone needed. She and the rest were moving again. The wolf outpaced the rest, her nails scraping the stone as she leapt down, yipping as she went. Persephone remembered being chased by wolves in the forest, but this time, she was the one pursuing, a member of the pack. Persephone took the stairs 3 and 4 at a time. Moya ran alongside with her spear, but there was no sign of her shield. Minna didn't pause at the bottom. She went right on down the next flight, and the flight after. Finally, they reached the bottom of the staircase. Minna sprinted into the darkness. Suri, who was quick and nimble as a deer, was close behind. Persephone and Moya followed. Meanwhile, somewhere behind them, Roan, Arion, and the dwarves brought up the rear.
She caught it!
Another few strides and Persephone saw the wolf. Minna was crouched, ready to fight. Suri was closing in. Ahead of them stood the Rao, still holding Bryn with one long hand clamped over her mouth. Persephone focused the light and saw it clearly for the first time. Pale as the underbelly of a dead fish, the thing was tall, lanky, and thin. Its arms could touch the floor with barely a bend to its back. Long, thin strands of black hair hung from a grotesque head, the locks shrouding much of its body like a brittle cloak. Just as Suri said, it had claws, sharp-pointed nails of ebony, and when it hissed at Minna, Persephone saw yellow teeth and bleeding gums. Bryn was still struggling, but she was held off balance by powerful arms. Stifled shouts and indistinguishable screams leaked through the Rao's palm. The creature had stopped its flight, and with the light of her shard, Persephone saw why. Behind the Rao, the floor was missing. Smooth marble tiles could be seen 20 feet beyond, but in between was the darkness of a gaping chasm. The floor, the width of the entire chamber, had broken away, leaving the Rao trapped against a massive hole. Suri stopped short and crouched beside Minna, glancing back. Beside her, Moya took a firm, double-handed grip on the spear as Persephone drew her sword. No fear this time, no hesitation. She was going to kill that thing for touching Bryn. Then, as she and Moya moved forward, and all of them watched, the Rao threw Bryn off the edge. Persephone stared in horror at Bryn's flailing arms and legs as down into darkness she went. Persephone felt as if her breath had been stolen, and she couldn't find another. The creature took several steps toward them, turned, and in a wild running leap jumped the gap, barely catching the far side with its clawed hands. It hung there for the briefest of moments and then pulled itself to safety. Persephone moved forward, hit the floor, crawled to the edge, and looked down. Even with the light, she only saw darkness below.
Bryn! Oh, sweet Mari!
The others arrived. Rain joined his light to hers, helping to illuminate the tragedy below.
Where's Bryn?
Persephone couldn't answer.
What's it doing?
Arion was looking across the chasm at where the Rao climbed a tilted pillar. The chamber was a mess of turmoil and wreckage. Parts of the ceiling had been shattered, and a few columns, freed from their loads, stood balancing on their plinths. The Rao jumped to one of these freestanding pillars and continued to climb. At the top, it braced itself against a nearby wall and the remaining ceiling and began to push with its legs. The pillar moved. Hardly noticeable, but it did rock slightly. Realization descended on Persephone. The hole in the floor that Bryn had fallen through was long and thin, the size and shape of a toppled pillar. The Rao was aiming another at them. Even if it missed, the massive column of stone would take out the rest of the floor.
Help! Help me!
Bryn?
Persephone looked back down, still unable to see anything.
Bryn! Are you all right?
She waited. They all did. No answer. Across the gap, the Rao shifted the pillar another inch. It grinned, heaved once more, causing the pillar to rock.
We need to leave.
For once, I agree with Frost.
We aren't leaving her. Hold on, Bryn!
Suri.
Arion moved to where the mystic knelt.
You can stop it.
Suri continued to hug Minna, looking up at the fray, terrified.
You must try.
She resorted to Frey, but kept her words steady and calm. Suri only hugged Minna closer.
This was our mistake. I shouldn't have come. I'm not an artist. I can't do anything. I don't even know what you want me to do. There's not a giant over there. It's a pillar and a row, and there's no dirt to swallow it.
You can hold the pillar in place.
Arion's voice was so sedate that it managed to irritate Persephone, as if the Miralith denied everyone's peril.
You can also paralyze the creature or kill it. Center yourself. You can use the charm.
I'm not sure what to do.
Suri stood up, closed her eyes, and furrowed her brow. She tilted her head from side to side.
There are so many choices, and so few sources to draw from.
Persephone couldn't do anything but watch. Suri remained standing, frustrated and confused. Arion stood next to Suri, whispering encouragement. The dwarves were inching backward toward the stairs.
Bryn, can you hear me?
How could she have survived that fall?
On the far side, the Rao finally managed to rock the pillar to its tipping point. The creature dropped deftly to the ground as the mammoth column breached the edge of its base and, just like a cut tree, began its inevitable fall. The angle was off. The tower of stone wouldn't hit them. The column would land to the left, closer to the stair, just missing the dwarves.
Look out!
Here it comes!
Time stood still as they watched it fall, and Persephone realized in that late instant that she never should have allowed the others to come. She wondered if anyone would even notice they were gone. The crashed column severed the floor just in front of the stairs. Persephone felt the ground give way beneath her, and she was falling along with everyone else, tumbling into darkness.